What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series.
From You and Who, Choices, by Michael Gilroy Sinclair. It's 1983 and I'm late. I'm perched on the edge of a sofa, dressed in what I can only describe as a paramilitary uniform. I have a green beret on my head, a golden cap badge, and the insignia on my arm says that I am second in command of my subgroup. My heart rate is up and I'm full of guilt. Except that's only part of the truth. I am 11 years old and I am watching Doctor Who. The Doctor is talking to a pirate queen as she sails a wooden ship through eternity in search of enlightenment, and I am transfixed. Both of these things are true. I am dressed to go to my weekly scout meeting, and I am, as I have said, quite late. I was never athletic, and yet I run. I run the way you can when you are 11. The wind holds its breath and lets you past. Traffic slows down to let you cross the roads. You can bend space-time when you're 11. The slow-motion aerial ballet of the Wachowskis has nothing on this. I run across the field and down the cinder path, down Exeter Road and onwards to the hut containing others of my kind. The green wooden hut belongs in a Just Williams story, and it is home to the 8th Tynemouth Scout Group. I have been a cub with an arm full of merit badges and a neckerchief which was always worn with pride. And now I have graduated. On a Monday and Tuesday nights here in the early 1980s in the northeast of England, I am a scout. I burst into the space like Saldied, the king of commanding and theatrical Doctor Who villains, and all eyes are turned to me. The eyes of the punctual, identical automatons all lined up for inspection. I take my spot at the end of the line and wait. I know that I will receive a chat. One of the first have a quiet words with that I'll receive in a lifetime of having a quiet words with. I do not have to wait long. Immediately after inspection, I am taken to one side by a huge man, an ambulance driver by day and scout leader by night. I can see his moustache bristling in a way that I've only heard about in Terence Dick's novelisations. He looks me square in the face and asks me a simple question. He asks it as a statement of fact, a management technique used by many. "You have to work out what's more important," he says. "Doctor Who or..." And any words after that are lost to me. I stay in the session, eyes shining and watching his soundless lips form empty shapes, letting my mind fill with robots, highwaymen, cricketing time travellers and green-skinned, wheezing alien lizards who've crash-landed in the 17th century. I know that my heart belongs in a blue box and not a green hut, and that no amount of church parades, woggles, knots or camping can ever change that. I never return. Michael M. Gilroy Sinclair was 38 when he wrote this. He's also the host of the Tin Dog podcast and author of the book Whostrology. Favourite Doctor? Smashing Chaps. All of them. Favourite story? Ghostlight.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm JR.
And you're listening to You and Who Talking, where this week we're going back to the classic format of two essays, JR.
We are, because we've got a couple of very short ones, so we thought we'd better bung them together, otherwise the entire episode might come in at about 7 minutes long. And this is immediately after we've decided to change the format, so going back to the old format straight away is probably a bit of a jolt.
Yes.
But there's a reason, yeah, there's a reason for that. And that is that Chris Bryant, who's coming up, is sort of approaching the end game on his You on Target book. So he kind of wanted to throw out, well, he wanted to throw out a reading and a request for people. So anybody who might be listening to this, who's not actually written for or, you know, aware of the You and Who books from which these essays come from, gets a quick chance to get in on this book before it gets finished.
That's right. And You and Target, I think, is going to be one of the classic You and Who books, because the Target range of novels, everyone knows about those. Everyone's got a favourite one. You know, I think fans out there will want to be in it if they know about it.
Exactly. So, you know, when Chris asked us, can we throw this out this week? We said, okay, fair enough. We'll put everything else on hold just for 1 week and we'll get the message out there.
Exactly. But of course, we've also just heard from Michael Gilroy Sinclair talking about making a choice in his Doctor Who fandom between, well, Doctor Who fandom and being a scout. And he chose Doctor Who. I think he chose wisely.
Yeah. Well, he's obviously the host of the Tin Dog podcast. So Doctor Who fandom is something that's carried on into his adult life, whereas scouting perhaps wouldn't have done.
It made me think, have I ever had to choose between Doctor Who and something? And I thought about it for a while and I couldn't think of anything. And then I thought, maybe I've just never let anything get in the way of Doctor Who. Maybe that's as it should be.
Yeah, I think that's something that we all sort of recognise, because when you're a kid, Doctor Who is just something that's so regular in your life. But I think when you get into your sort of teenage years, a lot of people have let Doctor Who go. And it's kind of been getting Doctor Who back for some people, you know, has been the thing as they've gone into adult life and they've come back around to it. But I think Michael's essay and his reading of it, which is great, is something that maybe, even if we've not been through it, and I suspect quite a few people have, even if we've not been through it, we can recognise his feelings about making that choice.
Oh, absolutely, because we can all think of how much we've loved the show and in my case, wouldn't let anything stand in the way of it. So I totally get where he's coming from.
Absolutely right. Right, shall we have a listen to Chris's essay from the You on Target book and let's see what he has to say about that, shall we?
I think so, and stay tuned at the end of it. He gives some details on how you can get in touch with the range.
Reach Out and Touch Me, an essay about Doctor Who and the Carnival of Monsters by Christopher Bryant, age 41, Woking. He was standing right in front of me, within arm's length. I could have reached out and touched him. I didn't, obviously, that would have been weird. It was only my third convention. Many fans are used to hobnobbing with the Doctor Who great and good, and think nothing of cuddling up to Sophie Aldred for a photo op, or quizzing Andrew Cartmell about his master plan. I'm not one of those. Standing in a hotel near Gatwick Airport, I found myself in the perfect position to talk to one of my literary heroes, and time, for a moment, stood still. That was May 2017. I was 40 years old. What would I have said to him? Would I have explained that Carnival of Monsters was the first proper book I remember reading? That it led me on to become a voracious reader as a child? That I spent most of the 1980s devouring his books, and those of his Target stablemates, over and over again? That I associated trips to the library on Penny Dreh with the legend Dick Dock on the spines of hardback books? That he inspired a love of reading which led to English A-level, an English degree, a job teaching English, that I now encourage primary-age children to read, that I am writing books and short stories and editing anthologies of essays by Doctor Who fans, that all of this is down to his writing, reaching out to my young mind and touching my imagination. I didn't say any of this, of course. It would have been nothing he hadn't heard before. Terence Dix is used to having ageing Doctor Who fans gushing at him. He adapted 64 television serials into book form for money, and far more than the excellent work he did on the TV show itself, it made him into a living legend. I let him walk down the corridor and didn't say a word. So I'll say it now. Thank you, Terence. That was an essay from the forthcoming book You on Target, edited by me, and featuring essays about all the Target Doctor Who novelisations. We already have well over 100 submissions, but we want one for every single Target book, which means there's still time for you to become involved. If you're interested, take a look on the You on Target website. Just type You on Target into Google to see what books are still available and how to get in touch. Some of the essays are longer than the one you just heard, but some of them are shorter. You can write specifically about your memories of one book, or, like my essay, use your chosen book as a hook upon which to hang a general story about the novelisations. We need to hear from you before the end of August 2017. All royalties from You on Target will be donated to the charity Tree of Hope. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I just heard a wheezing, groaning sound.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.